This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And today, President Obama will meet with Vladimir Putin for the first time in nearly a year. Those two leaders haven't formally met since June of 2013, months before President Putin annexed Crimea and armed secessionist rebels in eastern Ukraine. Now the presidents have plenty to discuss aside from Ukraine. President Obama plans to press Vladimir Putin on Russia's support of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and assess Russia's potential as an ally against the self-proclaimed Islamic State in Syria, well, and maybe in Iraq, but maybe not. There is deep division over the future of Assad's Syria. Listen.
We support the legitimate government of Syria. And it's my deep belief that any actions to the contrary in order to destroy the legitimate government will create a situation which you can witness now in the other countries of the region or in other regions, for instance, in Libya, where all the state institutions are disintegrated. We see a similar situation in Iraq.
Russian President Vladimir Putin on 60 Minutes last night. Well, President Obama's taken a lot of heat on Vladimir Putin over the last few years, mostly from Republicans who want to see him take a take a tougher stand against the Russian leader. But my next guest says that Putin's increasingly aggressive stance in Syria may in fact be part of the bargain already on the Iran nuclear deal. Joining me is Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Columbia University's Barnard College and a friend of the show. Professor Martin, welcome back.
Todd, it's great to be here.
Now, I just said a provocative thing that you're bringing to the table here, which is it's one thing for President Obama to get tough on Putin, who is propping up Assad and may even send in troops to do it. You say this might actually be part of the deal.
Well, a couple of things to think about. First is that Putin can never be seen as giving in to the West. We have been trying to bargain with Putin over the future of Syria since the Geneva process began in June 2012. He has to talk tough. He may be sending some small number of troops, which is what he has right now in Syria, is part of looking tough to his domestic audience. But the key thing is going to be what happens behind closed doors. And it's possible that Putin is sort of waking up and saying, look, things aren't going well in Ukraine. Things aren't going well for the Assad regime. Maybe it's time for me to start having some compromises with the West, but I can't do it publicly, and publicly I have to look tough. You're right, too, that this could also be part of the Iran nuclear bargain. We don't know that for sure, but the timing of it is kind of suspicious because it was the day after that it became clear that the United States was going to go along with the Iran nuclear accord that all of a sudden we started seeing the appearance of Russian military forces in Syria. And we know that the only way that Iran went along with the accord was to get support from Russia to do it. Russia was a key player in the negotiation that led to that nuclear accord. I wouldn't be surprised if part of the bargain was that Iran said, okay, we'll go along with this accord, but you, Russia, have to give more military support to our ally Syria if you want us to do this.
And we should highlight that Iran and Russia have common cause in Syria. That common cause is Assad.
Yes, both Assad and also fear of the Islamic State and fear of what fundamentalists who are extremists coming from the Sunni side could do to destabilize either of their governments.
Now, Vladimir Putin has an additional motivation to wanting to send Russian troops into Syria. Listen to him on 60 Minutes last night about his own problem that he thinks he has in Assad, Syria.
More than 2,000 fighters from Russia and ex-Soviet republics are in the territory of Syria. There's a threat of their return to us. So instead of waiting for their return, we are better off helping Assad fight them on Syrian territory.
There's Vladimir Putin saying, we've got to fight them over there before they fight us over here. That sounds familiar to an American ear in terms of what terrorists might do if they come home to roost.
Right. And I would not be surprised if part of the intelligence sharing that's going on between Russia and Iran and Iraq and Syria is to identify Russian citizens who are from the North Caucasus, who are currently on the ground fighting against the Assad regime. And if part of the reason for Putin's military deployment to Syria is to try to target those Russian citizens so they can't come home again. We do know that over the past year, the Russian intelligence service, the FSB, has been sort of closing its eyes and allowing safe passage for people from the North Caucasus who have been going to fight in Syria. And this may be a way of preventing them from returning home.
They were closing their eyes because they thought they were getting rid of them.
Yes, exactly. Much better to have them in Syria than to have them at home in the North Caucasus in Russia.
So what does it mean then for President Obama in his meeting with Putin today? We assume that The president knows all of the things that you know. He might be sensitive to Putin's need to fight Russian or North Caucasus fighters who are getting combat hardened and trained in Syria. But a Russian buildup in Syria is a problem for us. How does Obama balance this?
Well, a couple things to keep in mind. The first is that so far the Russian deployments in Syria are relatively small, and so they would not have at this point a decisive impact on the war. We don't know what might be coming next, but that's an indication that the Russian presence there might be symbolic and for political reasons more than for any really serious military reasons. But another thing to keep in mind that's dangerous is that Putin is not just after the Islamic State. He is potentially after anybody who would threaten the Assad regime and anybody who might go home to threaten his regime afterwards who would be from the North Caucasus. And many of both of those people are not fighting on behalf of the Islamic State. There's so many different groups who are on the ground in Syria, and it would be possible that Putin and his military forces might go after some of the forces that are actually U.S. allies fighting against the Assad regime. And that's why the deconflicting is so important, because we also know that there are probably some U.S. special forces who are going back and forth into Syria as well to help the people who are fighting against Assad.
So they have a lot of very tangled details to work out between them, who basically rules of engagement are what you're talking about.
That's
extremely complicated. I mean, there are rules of engagement for all of the different factions in Syria, but also it seems increasingly like the case, Kimberly Martin, that Assad remaining in power, which is against U.S. policy, the president himself has said Assad must go, is going to be the price for weakening ISIS. It's starting to seem that way.
And I think, I mean, what we have to pay attention to over the long run is what happens behind closed doors. I would predict that Putin is going to make some sort of a hardline statement. But what happens behind closed doors in those negotiations will be the important part. And it may be that Putin is willing to see that they need some kind of a transition away from Assad to have anything that comes out with a stable situation in Syria.
So there might be leverage then with Vladimir Putin. You're saying that he's not completely in control of this negotiation. He needs things too. He may, in fact, be willing to deal away Bashar Assad eventually if it gets him dead Russian fighters who he doesn't want to come back to Russia and ISIS defeated.
And the thing to keep in mind is that in general, Putin's on a losing streak, right? Things have not been going as well for him in Ukraine as he had been expecting. His economy is tanking. Oil prices don't look like they're going up anytime soon, as an earlier story talked about. And so he really is not having any successes at the moment. He needs a success. And if he can come out and say, my presence of military forces in Syria and my hard line against the West is what led to this peaceful outcome, and they had to take me seriously, and that shows that Russia is a global power again that the West has to cooperate with, that's a win-win situation for everybody.
Well, he got a little bit of that a couple of summers ago, didn't he, when the Russians brokered the deal on Syria's chemical weapons program,
which also served U.S. interests very well. And so, you know, Obama was criticized for being weak, but it was really great to get those chemical weapons out of Syria. And so if Putin can do the same thing again, I think we should be very happy.
Well, Obama's been criticized for being weak as well in Ukraine, because basically President Obama's the only guy in Washington who doesn't want to arm the Ukrainians against Russian-backed separatist forces in the east. Congress wants it. Almost everybody wants it. The White House won't do it. Part of the dividend of this, I suppose, part of it was supposed to be cooperation from Putin on all these other pieces in Iran, in Syria. Is that the case, and are we getting any of that from that decision?
I don't think that Obama's thinking was really that if he didn't arm Ukraine that he would get cooperation from Russia. I think it was his assessment that arming Ukraine is a really bad idea because the Ukrainian military is not in – it's not a very strong command and control professionalized system. You couldn't control what happened to the weapons once they got on the ground. There are dozens of militias in Ukraine fighting on behalf of Kyiv, but not really under Kyiv's control. They've joined this thing that is called the National Guard, but they still have their same command structures, and they have their own political purposes outside of helping Kyiv. And so once you send those weapons to Ukraine, you really have no control over where they go. And you know, part of the group of people fighting in Ukraine on behalf of Kyiv are Chechens. And so it would be very dangerous to send weapons to Ukraine.
But you've suggested at the same time that all of the sanctions that have grown out of the confrontation in Ukraine, banking sanctions, economic sanctions, are having an effect on Russia
may
actually be driving Putin to the table, back in Syria with us?
Well, I think it's the oil prices that are driving Putin to the table, which are not related to the sanctions. They just happen to occur simultaneously. But another thing to think about in terms of the possibility of arming Ukraine is that Putin's rhetoric has shifted. Early on in Ukraine, he was talking about it being an ethnic conflict, about him needing to support Russian speakers and so forth. He shifted over the past year to talking about this not being about Ukraine at all, but about the United States threatening Russian borders on the Ukrainian border. And so if the United States were to publicly come out and say, we are arming the Ukrainian government, it feeds into Putin's rhetoric that this is actually the United States threatening Russian borders. And at that point, you could get escalation in Ukraine. But I think what's happening right now is that, you know, things have sort of calmed down in Ukraine. We have this ceasefire so that global attention is on these wonderful things that Putin is going to propose on Syria, to have the possibility of negotiated outcome and the possibility of a good outcome in Syria. I don't predict that the ceasefire in Ukraine is going to last very long. Neither side really controls what's happening with the militias on the ground, and it's going to rise up again in the future.
And just to go right back to ISIS before we let you go, Kimberly Martin, we've been talking about Syria, Islamic State in Syria, and Assad. We need to establish here that most of this doesn't have much to do with ISIS in Iraq, and that's potentially even a larger problem.
Well, the border between Syria and Iraq is very porous and very artificial, and in many ways, a lot of the problem that's happening in Syria came about because of the situation that happened in Iraq. And so they're all very much related to each other, and we have a mess.
A mess indeed. Maybe untangling some of the mess, maybe not. President Obama meets with Vladimir Putin on the sidelines at the United Nations today. They have an awful lot to talk about, and Vladimir Putin is increasing his muscle in Syria. Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Columbia University's Barnard College. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.